Hello everyone, a new podcast in My Energy Game, and today we are going to cover the topic Consciously Competitive. And we've got Rick Cotgriff, who is a consultant for Lane 4, former international lacrosse player, expert in helping athletes to leave the sport environment, and expert in resilience and mindfulness. Hello Rick.
Hey, you do, how are you?
Very well, thank you. So what do you mean by consciously competitive? And obviously, if you want to talk a little bit about what you do as well.
Yes, I think consciously competitive was a kind of coined term, just thinking about that idea that I guess as athletes, we have that choice. There's a competitiveness to us.
Yeah.
But there's something around that capacity from an energy point of view. To what extent can we use that competitive energy cleverly, kind of mindfully, in a way that's going to work for us? So there's something about being able to turn it on when we need it. But equally, can we have that capacity to turn it off when it no longer serves us?
So that's an interesting concept. So is it basically kind of saying we need to be conscious about when we are in competition and when we are not? Is it like we need different set of behaviors?
I think so. For my work is predominantly looking at athletes as they journey from sport to a life outside of sport. And some of that's trying to look at the mindset and the behaviours that work on the football field, on the athletic arena. Do they work in the world outside of sport? So some of that's that exploration of that mindset and that behaviour, that competitiveness that has built a career may not be the right mindset or the right attitudes or the right behaviours when they're looking to come out of sport to do something else.
Interesting. Obviously, that's probably one of your main expertise. I mean, being an expert in helping athletes to cover that transition between obviously their days of playing or competing and then obviously what happens afterwards. But what about when you are in competition? So what about those athletes who are still competing, but of course they want to be, I mean, let's be honest, when we are competing, you need to have that edge. You need to have that ruthlessness, capacity to go for it and probably push yourself to the limit. But perhaps that mindset and that set of behaviors is not what you really need outside the arena, right? Outside the football grass. So what happens with those athletes still active, still in competition?
Well, I think you're right. So I think we need to have that edge, right? So we think we need to be in that world of that 50-50 ball. We've got to believe it's ours and we've got to want to chase it and want to fight for it. But I think it's being able to do that in a way that allows us to be at our best. So there's something about, you know, we know from a boxer point of view, they need to be aggressive, they need to be competitive, but the moment they become angry, you know, that they are no longer as effective or as a fighter as they could be. So it's to what extent can we be conscious of the degree of competitiveness that we need to be successful and have that edge. But at the same time, and I think this is where it becomes interesting, is to what extent is it being fueled by deficits or is it being fueled by a negative mindset? And actually, can we unpick that so that that mindset isn't actually getting in our own way of us being successful?
That's a good thing. I mean, talking to some of my players and the athletes I know, that sometimes is the problem. Sometimes they only find that edge. They only find that resilience to obviously tackle certain elements of the game by a mindset built on anger or a mindset built on that deficit inspector, it won't be enough. Unless I do this, I'm gonna lose the game. So what kind of strategies or what kind of support you would probably offer to an athlete to kind of fuel that mindset needed to compete? Because let's face it, competition is not healthy as such. So how can you build that edge in a much more kind way, if you like? So when you step outside of the arena, you can switch, as you said, you can flick to the other side, as you said at the beginning.
So there's a number of things in there. Is one, there's something about being consciously in control of it. So there's something around that. Sometimes what does it take me to be in to get into that space where I need to be that version of me that's going to be competitive? And sometimes we need to turn that switch on and we need to get into, you know, into the zone or a game face on ready to compete. But I think some point we've got to be mindful of, is that a fear-based or a deficit-based issue? If I'm trying to prove something or I'm worried about failing, then to what extent is that adding negative energy into my mind? Mm-hmm. So to what extent can we begin to think about how can I use it rather than from a deficit point of view, from what am I scared of? It's almost how can I use it more positively and more effectively? Or equally, not being so destructive to myself. So not having that mindset where I, you know, if I've got that belief I'm not good enough, is to what extent is that kind of actually being erosive and actually chipping away at me being my best version of self? So I think we see sometimes with athletes, it's sometimes it's that fear that stops them really stepping into that space of flow or that space where they're really being effective because they're holding something back or they're going in with it. It's just kind of that switch between a fear-based attitude or an abundance-based attitude where I know I'm being accessed to myself. I know I'm being the best version of me. I know I can turn that competitive thing on. And I suppose it's allowing that to be a choice. And I think when we've got choice, we've got a degree of agency. When we've got a degree of agency, we feel more in control. And then we can use that mindset to be effective rather than being a slave to that mindset or a slave to those emotions.
And how would you suggest that we can offer that choice to an athlete? How would you say that an athlete can work on himself or herself to create that choice? And so they become a bit more, still very competitive, still ruthless, still having the edge, because that's needed, but in a way that A, it allows that person to flow, as you said, while they are competing, because fear won't kick in. And B, it allows them to have that capability of switching off or switching the flick to a completely different set of behaviors, which are probably behaviors more needed away from the competition. So what kind of strategies or things they can do?
I think it's working with people like you, working with your sports psych. It's working in that safe space where you've got an opportunity to explore what are the values, what are the beliefs, what are the things that are actually driving me? Beginning to, you know, really know yourself more and beginning to understand to what extent is the narrative or the script, to what extent have I got a choice in terms of what I believe and what values I'm acting upon? So it's really beginning to explore, rather than at the moment, almost those drivers just being unconscious and just taking care and control of us, is to what extent can we become in control of those drivers? So I think we've got to do a little bit of digging really to try and understand what is it that's giving us the edge? What is it that we can do to make sure that edge remains positive and not a destructive force in our lives? To really begin to focus on, again, the critical things that are important and doing everything we can, almost removing the interferences that get in our own way. So it's making sure that we know what it takes to give us that edge. And therefore, when we're having the opportunity to make a choice that we use that, but equally having an alternative and saying, well, actually, in this situation, I'm going to go to that. But in this situation, I've got another option. And almost when there's other options, and again, it's about making sure that we are able to evaluate our performance. So we're able to review it in terms of, again, if that belief system is I'm not good enough or I need to prove myself, then again, that can be destructive and erosive over time. So it's to some extent, again, knowing that I'm choosing to go into that space, I'm choosing to use that energy, but also recognizing that sometimes that energy will never be satisfied. So it might be then going, okay, well, let me wind that back and beginning to recognize how can I kind of fill up and validate and build the recognition internally that I can do so that I've got another mechanism to restore my energy, to give me energy, to allow me then actually to recharge, to regenerate more quickly. Mm-hmm. So just being able to make that choice, to knowing what drives us, knowing what replenishes us, and making sure we've got that opportunity to create the balance.
And from your experience as a former international lacrosse player, and obviously your current work as a consultant with different athletes. Is this possible, Rick? Do you think, is this, you know what I mean? Because of course, I talk to loads of people who go and say, Edu, this is, yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, you know, this is actually, you know, something that can really work. But A, is this really possible from your perspective as a former international athlete? And I suppose this within the same question would be, and if it is possible, how do we do it in a weekly basis? Is there anything that we can do tangible in a weekly basis that can help us?
Yeah, like any of these things, if only I knew then what I know now. So there's a whole space. I certainly recognize as an athlete, when it came to game day, often the fear would get in the way for me. And I'd have that self-doubt, I'd have that nervousness that stopped me being as good as I sometimes was in practice. You know, I could, on the training field, I could take risks, it would be free-flowing, and I'd notice that nervousness would get in the way. So I do believe it is possible, but I think it's about making the investment of the time. And I think that investment, we work on our physical game. We know that. We know 20 minutes a day stretching is effective and helping us become more flexible. An hour in the weight room, 2 hours on the track, whatever it might be, all of those things add up over time. It's not doing one gym session that makes you strong. It's not doing one yoga session that makes you flexible. It's that willingness to do these things repeatedly. And I think if we're really going to believe that truth, that our mindset is as much as 50% of the game, because it's a way of accessing our energy, it's a way of accessing the best version of who we are, then I think we've got to start investing it in the same way that we might invest in our physical health and our kind of physical capabilities. I think we've got to start developing time into looking at our mindset and actually exploring that. And to what extent as an athlete are you testing yourself in terms of, is my mindset the most effective one that's going to allow me to compete, that's going to allow me to be a great friend, going to allow me to be a great partner, a great father, and actually extending out that mindset into different versions of ourselves? Because we're never just athlete, right? So we can have a mindset that works for athletes, but what about the mindset that works for son or for daughter or whatever that's going to be? Beginning to explore, what is that mindset? What's the values? What's the belief system? What's the narrative that I'm running? And how can I make sure that I have a narrative that's positive, that's engaging, that is stimulating, that allows me to be the best on the football pitch, that allows me the narrative that gives me the edge, but equally a narrative that lets you step away and be a great friend, be a great father, whatever it might be.
So I suppose that obviously when we are talking about consciously competitive is being aware, right? I mean, working on yourself and really investing in yourself to be aware of, yes, I have a gift that's given me the possibility to play the role of an athlete, but that is a role. And there is many more things that, you know, I can do in my day, which obviously I need to be conscious about in order to be happy and to be fulfilled.
Sure.
Very interesting conversation, Rick. I mean, I would be like talking loads with you. Just to finish off, just the final thing. I mean, obviously with your current work as a consultant with different athletes in this transition period where they go from obviously finishing their playing or their athletic career into the new chapter, is it that difficult to adapt to that new chapter, Rick? Is it, or would it be easier if they had invested a little bit more time in themselves?
Yeah, I think this, when we look at some of the research says, have a plan, and I think that means a multiple level of plan in terms of what are you going to do physically, what are you going to do mentally, what are you going to do economically. So I think it's having a plan to what you're going to do. So investing in that a little bit of time ahead of the retirement is valuable. Being in control of the timing, so again, making sure that we have a degree of agency so that you get to retire at a moment when you want to, as opposed to deselection or injury, at least being able to manage it as best you can so you've got a plan. And equally be able to look back at your career with a degree of kind of looking back with a sense of satisfaction. So again, it's making sure that you can again, celebrate all the things that you have done rather than, again, worrying about what you haven't got. So I think it's definitely part of kind of preparation is definitely going to help. But again, the more that we can recognize that we are more than just an athlete and that we've always had multiple identities. Because one of the big things that, again, I guess one of the subtle shifts, but the important shifts we make is some people will talk about a story about resilience. I'm resilient because I'm an athlete. And again, the important shift is, well, actually, you're an athlete because you're resilient.
I like that.
There's something really important that actually the foundation of that resilience and that identity, that's what allows you to become the athlete. So the resilience, the identity, the strength, the values, they've allowed you to become the athlete that you are. So that, but those same things will allow you to step forward somewhere else. So it's not being defined and allowing yourself to be limited just by your athletic identity, but just expanding it into a little bit, you know, a lot more than that. That actually there's much more to you than just a singular athletic career.
What a privilege to listen to Rick Cotgrave. Thank you so much. We'll definitely catch up soon. Thank you, Rick.
Yeah. Thank you very much. All the best.